If I had only one sermon to preach, it would be this one, or at least a variation of it. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Let me ask you this morning, why do you do what you do as a believer? Is it out of guilt? Maybe you have a past that you're ashamed of, that you've never been able to shake, and you feel, well, maybe if I go to church, that'll help. Is it pressure from others, maybe a wife who insists that you go to church, or a mother or father, or, oh my goodness, what if it's your grandmother? They are so good at putting pressure on people to go to church. Maybe it's the fear of what others think. Maybe even more significantly in this day, the fear of death. The reality is everybody dies. It's only a question of where you spend eternity. You cannot avoid death. And there's always in the back of some people's minds, what really happens when I die? Do I just black out? There's a lot of people hope that's the case. Is there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? Why do you do what you do as a believer? Or is it out of a genuine heart and love for Jesus? Well, we know what the right answer is, but we don't always practice that. I spoke with a young person, and they came to me and they said, "John," I said, I just don't feel very close to God. I just don't understand it. I mean, it's just not working." I said, "Well, are you reading your Bible?" "No." "Are you praying?" "No." "And you wonder why you're not close to God?" Jeremiah says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus had an encounter with a religious leader of his day. And in this encounter, Jesus summarizes for us the essence of the Christian life. This is what it boils down to right here. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, do you know the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees? The Pharisees believed there was a resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. That's why they're Sadducee. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If there was only one thing you got right in your relationship with God, in your walk with Jesus, I pray it would be your heart. The scripture says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." You know, it is amazing how we see wholeheartedness in people in so many areas. I lived in Ann Arbor for 20 years and attended many Michigan football games. It is amazing the wholeheartedness of a Michigan fan. Old men will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars and consider it a privilege that they can buy a ticket to a game. They will wear the stupidest hats with fuzzy balls on them. They will go to a football game. Now, they don't wait for it to start. They're there 2-3 hours early in the parking lot, cooking food, discussing the game. Will Harbaugh throw on first down finally? What's Hutchinson going to do? Is he going to get a sack? And they're discussing it. And then the game comes. They don't just sit there on their hands. They're screaming and shouting, old men, Your fathers and grandfathers, raving idiots. They're screaming at the refs for a play. They're screaming at the coaches. And then when the game is over, it's not like, you know, that's it. No, they go back and rehash the whole game. Why didn't Harbaugh do this? Why did they throw when they did this? You know, that's what church should be like. You guys should be gathering in the parking lot. What's Andy going to preach on today? Did you bring your offering? I got my offering, man. It's ready. We're going to stick it right in that box when I get there. And then we start. Daryl starts playing the guitar, and we jump up, and we start singing the fight song. Well, whatever it is. Why don't we do that? We know how to be wholehearted in what we do. If Jesus is real, if Christianity is real, if God literally came to earth, lived among us, was crucified on the cross, buried, and raised from the dead, you tell me what is more significant in the entire world than that. And the Bible says, if you seek me and find, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The reason that person I talked to wasn't finding God, because they weren't seeking him with all their heart. They were just hoping, they were going through the motions and hoping that something would happen. What Jesus commands us in seeking him with all of our heart is very simple. It's a simple message, but it is very expensive. Matthew 22:37 says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It's easy to skip over the familiar part of that. We know it's our heart, mind, and soul. But you know what he says? He puts a qualification on that. With all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. You see, God not only commands us what we are to do in seeking him, but he commands us how we are to do it. And we are called to do it wholeheartedly. And again, if you remind yourself every day what this Christian message is about, that Jesus is God in the flesh, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he is coming back. And there is eternity, heaven and hell, and people will spend eternity based upon the choice and decision that they make in this life. There's no second chances. There's no other options. Then why wouldn't you seek him with all of your heart? God says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And you know, I found this in my own life. This is, everything we do ultimately should be spiritual. When I go to the gym, that's a spiritual activity for me. And I do it with all my heart, is working unto the Lord. Why? Because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I've been called to take care of my body. And when I consider what I eat, that's a spiritual activity. Because my body is a temple of God's Holy Spirit. And I need to do that with all of my heart, and do it with not only my heart, but my soul and my mind, and do it wisely. You know, I love to hunt, and I can do that with all my heart. When I go hunting, first thing I do, I get up, I jump in the shower, and I have special deer soap. And I wash my body with that deer soap. My hunting clothes are in a plastic box that is sealed. And I take that box out into the woods with me. I get out of my car and I strip down naked in the woods. And then I put those special clothes on because they don't smell. Because they've been washed in deer soap. Then I take deer urine and I sprinkle it on my boots. Do some of you know what I'm talking about? Yes. You are wholehearted. The rest of you don't shoot deer. Because you don't see deer. Because you don't do that. Well, why is it any different in your spiritual life? You really think you're going to seek God and know Him and find Him and have a tremendous relationship with Him if you don't do it wholeheartedly? Think about that. These are not my words. These are Jesus' words to us. We see wholeheartedness in many, many things. James states it a little differently. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. If you are double-minded in your relationship with God, one day you got your foot in the kingdom. Well, let's do this. This is good. One foot you got your foot in the kingdom, and the next day you got your foot in the world. You're straddling the fence. That's a double-minded man. Why would you expect to know God well and have a dynamic relationship with Him? The Scripture says, come near to me, and I will come near to you. But we must do it, He tells us. He puts that qualifier with all of our hearts. And every one of us here knows how to do something wholeheartedly. Whether it's dating. Remember the first time you dated? I mean, your mother didn't have to tell you to take a bath and brush your teeth. She didn't even have to tell you to clean your car. You were motivated. We all know how to do things wholeheartedly in our lives. The Bible gives us an interesting example of this in the life of King Amaziah. Amaziah was one of the kings of Israel. And his father was a lot of the kings were treacherous men. And his father had killed a lot of people. And if you live by the sword, you oftentimes die by the sword. And his father was killed. Well, Amaziah became the king. Amaziah tried to do things a little bit better, and he began to follow God and to obey what God had told him to do. But there became this criticism of him in Chronicles. Amaziah, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. Isn't that interesting? He did the right thing, but not with a whole heart. Have you ever told your son or daughter, please take out the trash? No. Honey, would you tell our son to take out the trash? Take out the trash! Okay! Did he take out the trash? Not in my mind. I mean, he did the right thing, but not with his heart, not in the right way. And so ask yourself, why do you do the things that you do for Jesus? Are you following Him not for the praise of others, not for the attention of others, but simply because you love Jesus for what He's done for you? And what better time here in a new year to be reminded of the single greatest commandment? To love God with all of our hearts. Throughout the Bible, we're instructed to act wholeheartedly in everything that we do. Now think about that. The Bible gives us specific examples of where we are to be wholeheartedly. And Daryl, I was thinking about this. In the first service there. If we would truly take these things to heart in our worship, this place would be rocking. And I don't mean just with the music. I mean the voices would drown out the musicians. There's just so many things if we took seriously the call to do things wholeheartedly. So throughout the Bible, the Lord directs us to act with all our heart in everything we do. And He continually blesses godly men and women for their wholehearted devotion. So let me give you some illustrations. First of all, we're called to seek God with all our heart. How's your relationship with Jesus? Are you seeking Jesus on a regular, daily basis? Can you imagine not talking to your wife for days and weeks at a time? and then expecting good things to happen? Well, of course not. That's one of the reasons people get divorced. There's no seeking. There's no communication. There's no contact. But we're called to seek Him with all of our heart. And apart from the Scriptures, the Bible, which is the primary way that God speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit convicting us, you can't seek Him. One of the few times that I preached here, I remember I gave a thing about first things first. In seeking God. Give God the first part of every day. Begin your day with Him. You know, we go into battle every day. Spiritual battle. Whether you know it or not, Satan is active, alive and active, seeking to dissuade you in your relationship with Jesus and destroy your life. There's no question about it. So why wouldn't we begin the day with Jesus saying, Jesus, help me in the challenges and the battles of this day? Reading His Word to get hope and encouragement and instruction on how we can do that. Praying. I have 7 children. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's an easy way to remember them. Jenna, Caitlin, Eric. And Eric is EOD, Navy EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal. He disarms bombs on land and underwater. I said, Eric, do you like what you're doing? He said, Dad, I jump out of airplanes, I dive under the water, I shoot guns, and I blow things up. I'm having the time of my life. Now, do you think my wife is having the time of her life? No. She's on her knees every day praying for Eric. And so, being that I have 7 children, I have 7 days in a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every one of those kids has a day assigned to them for specific focused prayer in their life, where we can seek them. I'm in the crossroads of life. I'm 67 years old. I'm retiring April 9th on my birthday. I'm scared to death. I've seen some of you warning me about retirement. Do you know that is a daily focus of prayer in my life? God, give me wisdom as to what to do, how to do it, and how can I make retirement meaningful in my life? I don't want to golf. I don't want to hunt. I mean, I will golf. I will hunt. But that's not what I want to do. I want to give something meaningful and purposeful. So when you seek God with all your heart in seeking His Word, you give God the first part of every day, the first day of every week. That's why you're here. First part of every dollar. First in your habits and first in your homes. We put Him first in all those things. And it's amazing when you seek Him with all your heart, you will enter into a relationship with Him you've never had before. And it will transform your life and give you hope in the midst of even the most difficult situations. We're called to seek God with all our heart. We're called to obey God with all of our hearts. What has God called you to do? You don't... Now, I think next week we're honoring those who read through the Bible an entire year. And that is a fantastic thing. That is a fantastic thing. But more significant than that is, what did the Bible say to you to do, to obey? Because when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is going to put His finger on something in your life. And if you're seeking Him with all your heart, you're listening to what He's going to say to you, and then you're going to obey it because you love Him. My wife hates listening to Sean Hannity on the radio. I love Sean Hannity on the radio. We don't listen to Sean Hannity on the radio because I love my wife. And I have headphones. Okay? But you understand the concept? If you love somebody, you're going to want to please them and obey them. And you're going to want to please and obey God with what you do. That's a part of obeying Him with all your heart. To serve Him with all your heart. There's so many needs and opportunities. You don't need Andy to tell you what needs are. Listen to what God tells you. It might be your neighbor across the street. I have a neighbor that has got lung problems. He's a young guy. He fixes cars and he's inhaled all those fumes over the years and he is just a mess. Well, he's a single guy. He lives alone. My wife is constantly taking over food to him. And you do it because you love people and you don't have to wait to come to church to serve. You can serve anywhere you are. But we're called to serve. That's what Jesus did for us. We're called to seek with all our heart, obey with all our heart, serve with all our heart, repent with all our heart. Do you know one of the names of the Holy Spirit? I love this name. The Hound of Heaven. Years ago, they called the Holy Spirit the Hound of Heaven. And I discovered this a number of years ago. I was talking to a young lady about Christ, and she was very upset because her roommate had become a Christian. And her roommate's life had changed drastically. I mean, she wasn't drinking, they weren't partying, and she just says, "What did you do?" And so we sat in a big boy, and I explained to her what had happened, what the gospel was. And she was a good girl. I mean, very smart, popular, you know, decent person. It wasn't a real mess. And I said, "No, the reality is, from God's point of view, you're no different than a drug dealer on the street." Well, that infuriated her. "You're telling me I'm no better than a drug dealer on the street?" I was just trying to make her understand that sin is sin. But she didn't get it, and she just blew up in the big boy. Started screaming at me. And people were looking over at me, and I'm waving, "Hi, everything's okay. We're fine here." And she was just furious. So she went home that day. That night, she jumped into her bed, put her jam jams on, crawled up into her top bunk. "Ow! The Hound of Heaven, the Holy Spirit, began to speak to her heart about what we had talked about. And she just began to weep. She called me the next day. She said, "John, I got to talk to you." And we talked further. She gave her life to Christ and was baptized in the Red Cedar River in the shadow of Spartan Stadium because the Hound of Heaven spoke to her. Now, the Hound of Heaven wants to speak to you as well when you read the Word. Don't just read to read. Don't just read for knowledge. Read to listen and to obey what God is going to say to you. And then when He does, to turn, to repent from what you were doing to what He wants you to do. Remember when I said what Jesus calls us to is very simple. Love God with all your heart. But it's not easy. Because it requires a wholeheartedness in seeking and obeying and serving and repenting and loving God, rejoicing with all of our hearts, giving thanks with all of our hearts, setting Christ as Lord in all of our hearts, doing the will of God with all of our hearts. You know, the will of God, that's a big question believers have a lot of time. What does God want me to do? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you 99% of what God wants you to do is right here in this book already. Already revealed. He wants you to love your neighbor. He wants you to give. He wants you to serve. He wants you to obey. It's all in there, what He wants you to do. But knowing what is God's will. The question is not what is God's will. The question is, am I willing to do God's will? I remember as a single man at Central Michigan University, I studied biology and chemistry. I was pre-med at the time. And there was a girl. And she was fantastic. Christian girl. And I just was crazy over her. But you know, for whatever reason, God shut the door on that relationship with me. And I was devastated. And you know, I had to come to a point. Do you want what you want or do you want what I want? And I struggled with that and I battled with that. And finally I said, "Okay, Lord, I mean, if that's not the right person, then I know you got something better." You know what? Cheryl Collins was what was better. It's been my wife for 40 years and 7 kids and 13 grandkids. Because I held out for his best. Now, not his best is not always easy. And you know what? When you seek his best, it will test your heart many times. Am I willing to do his will over my will? I studied biology and chemistry. I wanted to be a doctor. Then I wanted to be a biologist. And then my junior year, God called me to ministry. I wrote a paper in the third grade, the things you want to do, I wanted to be a baseball player. The things you don't want to do, I didn't want to be a preacher. And God called me into ministry. Then I had to make a choice. His will or my will? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not telling you it hasn't been a struggle following God, but I have never regretted a day wholeheartedly following his will. But I've regretted every day that I did not follow his will. And some of you know that. The good news is God is a God of second chances. When we make the wrong decision, we can always turn back to him. Turn away from the old things and follow after him. And then finally, trust the Lord with all our hearts. We live in a day and age where trust is so critical with financial difficulties, job problems, COVID. There'll be something else. This is life. So what do we put our hope and trust in? Do we put it in the government? Do we put it in our finances? Do we put it in a person? Or do we put it in God? Do we put it in Jesus in our life? Daily, seeking him. Lord, I give myself to you. I will follow your way. I trust you will be with me. And what's the worst thing that happens? You die. And you go to heaven to be with him. The reality is we all die. And every one of us here. I'm sure I've shared this before, but coming to Christ was a very personal experience for me. As a young boy growing up in Key West, Florida, I would sit outside, look at the clouds. I love watching the clouds, sitting by the ocean. And I always knew there was a God. And I knew that he loved me, but I didn't know what to do. I was confused, but I also knew that I wasn't saved. And we moved from Florida to Michigan in high school. And I can remember one day vividly washing the dishes. I would wash and my sister would dry. And I was so troubled knowing inside. Nobody had told me this. Nobody knew this. It was all inside of me knowing that if I were to die, I was not going to go to heaven. I was going to go to hell. And I can remember one particular day, I think my junior year in high school or so, just thinking about that, my sister next to me, and I just was weeping tears. And the reason it was so memorable is I can still see those tears falling in those soap suds. My sister never knew what was going on there, but I didn't know what to do. I would go to a church when it was empty and try to get in if it was open and just say, God, save me, do something. But I didn't know what to do. Until finally, this is so ironic. One of my two high school classmates, girls, said, would you like to come to church? And there's a girl we think you'd like to meet. I just thought, that's the last thing in the world I want to do. But man, do I ever want to go to church, and here's my chance. And the minister of that church, Ivan Oder, First Church of Christ in Owosso. Some of you know of Ivan. Ivan's sister was Ima Jean Oder. Ima Oder. Ivan said, John, would you like to find out about being in the church? He said, would you like to find out about being a Christian? Well, I said, oh, I am a Christian. Yeah, but I wasn't a Christian, but my pride got in the way. And I said to him, he said, what would you like to find out being a part of the church? And I said, yes. And so we met on Friday nights, believe it or not, him and another man, Jan Morehouse. And we studied what the Bible said it meant to be a Christian. All he did was take me through the scriptures. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Now, I was a good kid, relatively speaking. I never got into trouble, Didn't do a lot of bad things, but I knew in my heart of hearts I was separated from God. And I didn't care what anybody said. There's no way to satisfy that. And he shared with me what Jesus had done for me. And then he asked me, is there any reason why you wouldn't give your life to him? And it took me a few days, and I'll never forget, on March 25th, 1973, Ivan gave the invitation. I stood up. There was a gasp in the entire youth group because everybody assumed I was a Christian because I was a good kid. But I wasn't. And I went forward, and I was baptized into Jesus Christ, March 25th, 1973. And I'll tell you this. It was like the weight of the world had come off my shoulders. And I remember saying to Jesus, Jesus, I don't know what it means to follow you, but I, whatever it takes, I will do. I will follow you with all my heart. And I will tell you, I rejoice in every day that I did, and I regret every day that I didn't. But I will tell you here and now, the greatest way to peace, to contentment, fulfillment, and joy in your life is to seek God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And that reminds us that half-heartedness makes God nauseous. In Revelation 3:15, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. You're not wholehearted for me, and you're not totally against me. You're just in the middle. You're lukewarm. You know, God would rather you be totally against him than in the middle. And I know the reason for it. It's easier to convert somebody who's totally against God. It's the half-hearted, the lukewarm people that are the hardest to convert to Jesus. And I've seen that over and over in my life. He says, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The Apostle Paul gives us a special challenge in his letter to the Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And I would encourage and challenge you here this morning that you run the Christian race in a way that you might win. And the only way to run that is with all of your heart. Do you remember in the Bible, the elderly widow who went to the synagogue and she had two small coins and she put them in the offering. And there was other people that were putting in hundreds and thousands, big bags of gold and money. And Jesus said, she gave all because she gave all that she had. God asked us to give him all our heart as we live for him. And he gives us this promise. And I would encourage you to meditate upon this promise right here, because it's a tremendous challenge. And I'll close with this. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God will strongly support you as you give your heart completely to him. What a great way to begin a new year. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wisdom that is there. Lord, thank you that you love flawed people. Thank you that you can make broken people whole again. And Lord, as we conclude here this morning, I pray for that man or that woman who has not yet completely surrendered their heart and life to you, to become a believer, a follower of you, that they might choose to do that today and experience the peace, the forgiveness, the hope, and the joy that only you can bring. Father, I pray for each of us who are your followers, that we would take to heart this message of wholeheartedness in all that we do for you, and that we might put it into practice to be lights shining in a world that has great need to see your hope. Jesus, I pray in your name. Amen.